Well, what does the Bible say about our responsibility as citizens in this country and about government?
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Many people were sure that the demise of the old Soviet Union marked the bitter end of the nightmare of socialism. But recent trends in America suggest that is not the case.
So there is a generation that arose that did not know socialism because they have enforced ignorance as the atrocities of socialism in the 20th century.
Socialism is now being openly advocated in America.
And that is the path that I call democratic socialism.
Find out how this puts us all in danger and what you can do about it on today's Truths That Transform.
Socialism is making a comeback. Why?
I do believe that socialism is on the rise right now, and I think it's a direct correlation to the loss of a biblical worldview.
Remove God and there's no restraint, and that's one of the reasons that in communist, socialist nations, you get, you know, mass murders, just all of these atrocities.
Socialism is growing in popularity, especially with young Americans, but it is completely contrary to biblical teaching. In the booklet, When Truth Becomes the Enemy, The Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism, Dr. Frank Wright pulls the veil off today's insurgent socialism and points the way to the road back to sanity. Contact us today to receive your copy of When Truth Becomes the Enemy. Find out what lies behind this dangerous trend and what it will take to stand against it.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Who would have thought, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, that one day a majority of young Americans would prefer socialism to free enterprise? One of the reasons for this is a steady stream of Pied Pipers in the media and in politics who have sold them a false bill of goods. On this program, we will expose these purveyors of socialism, and we will visit with Dennis Prager, who will show us how socialism violates biblical principles. We begin with the surprising rise of socialism in American politics, something deeply troubling as we approach a presidential campaign season. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
I don't believe that our current economic system actually works. Capitalism by design is extractive, and in order to generate profit in a capitalist system, something has to be exploited. That's land, labor, or resources. And I think that we're in late phase capitalism, and we know it doesn't work, and we've got to move into something new.
Here is a candidate for Denver City Council recently decrying capitalism as a total failure.
And I believe in community ownership of land, labor, resources, and distribution of those resources.
Amazingly, she won in the election despite her socialist convictions, or it would appear because of them.
And I'm excited to usher it in by any means necessary.
Such views in favor of socialism and in opposition to capitalism are gaining ground in America. A recent Gallup poll found that 4 in 10 Americans embrace some form of socialism.
I and other progressives will face massive attacks from those who attempt to use the word socialism as a slur.
But the tragedy is that you see these college students massing to his rallies and championing his ideas.
Greed is destroying our nation.
We wonder how these college students would respond if you went to them and said, you're an A student, but, you know, there's an F student in your class, and so we're going to give you a C and give them a C. How do you like that? I don't think they would.
A recent Harris poll found that among young people born after 1980, 73% believe that the government should provide universal health care. 67% believe that the government should provide tuition-free college. And 49% said they would prefer living in a socialist country.
Well, it's been in the academy for a long time. I mean, socialism has been prevalent since the 60s and 70s in terms of faculty taking that lead in the debate.
I would argue that we've had some form of socialism or socialism light in this country for a long time, the welfare state.
I'm calling for universal free college and the cancellation of student loan debt of up to $50,000 for 42 million Americans.
But where does the money come from? It is taken by force from one citizen and given to another citizen.
Margaret Thatcher had a wonderful statement. She said, "The problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money."
Here in the United States, we are alarmed by the new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, and not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free, and we will stay free. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country.
It is my very strong belief that the United States must reject that path of hatred and divisiveness, and instead find the moral conviction to choose a different path, a higher path, a path of compassion, justice, and love. And that is the path that I call democratic socialism.
One of the byproducts of socialism is totalitarianism. Socialism never operates with a free people. It just doesn't. It operates with a very strict iron hand of government that gives very strict guidelines to what people can and can't do. One of the things that occurs to me is that the people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many of her generation, not to be disparaging, but they were, like, she herself was born a month after the Soviet Union fell and the wall collapsed in Berlin. She has no frame of reference.
But what of the biblical admonition to care for the poor?
Well, some people have said that the Bible teaches socialism. They're wrong. They're simply wrong, and they're very simplistic. The Bible tells us a great deal about the nature of man, which is pretty basic. And the nature of man is, according to Jeremiah, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Capitalist economies have outperformed socialist economies in terms of alleviating poverty in the 20th century, in the 21st century, like no century before.
It's amazing, isn't it? Socialism is like the vampire that won't die, but keeps coming back to suck the lifeblood out of any nation foolish enough to embrace it. Later in this program, we'll be joined by Dennis Prager to examine this phenomenon. Another man who knew well the perils of socialism was Dr. D. James Kennedy, and I'm joined now by his daughter and my dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad knew that the Bible applied to politics as well as anything else, didn't he?
He really did, Frank. And he knew that there were a lot of socialists that had twisted its message. Many well-meaning Christians believe that we're supposed to stay out of politics. But my father knew that it was foolish and unbiblical to leave politics to the pagans. As Abraham Lincoln once put it, "Those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." My dad had a passion for Americans to wake up to the fact that the Bible lays out principles for living, including principles for good government that would turn us away from the road to socialism. He knew that someone's morality is always being legislated, and that it's better for everyone when scriptural truth is rightly interpreted and applied in the corridors of political power. Here is a portion of his classic message, The Bible and Politics.
The Bible and Politics. Probably never in my lifetime, and not in yours, has there been such a controversy and furor of concern about the relationship of religion and politics. Hardly a week has gone by for the past year when we haven't heard something about it in the media. And I believe that the cause of all of this controversy has been that in the last decade or two, in particular, the government in this country has been expanding the parameters of its interest and concern until now it has included within the borders of its own legislative and judicial enactments matters that at one time, for hundreds of years, in fact, were considered to be merely in the realm of morality or spirituality. And an attempt is being made concurrently with that expansion of government control to silence the religious protest. Well, what does the Bible say about our responsibility as citizens in this country and about government? Of course, Jesus Christ declared that we were to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Therefore, it is our responsibility to do whatever good citizenship requires. It is always true that legislation is built upon morality, and morality is built upon religion. There is no escape from that fact. Unfortunately, Christians by default have inherited a glorious patrimony, and they have allowed it to sift through their fingers like sand. Until now, we find ourselves in a great struggle even to maintain and to hold on to the glorious inheritance that we have in this country. And I hope the day will come when Christians will look upon apathy and indifference concerning their responsibilities as Christian citizens of this great nation as a base and iniquitous thing, and they would be ashamed to admit that they had failed to live up to their duty. And of course, we must continue to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ to take the gospel to every creature. That we must be not only the salt of the earth, exercising its privileges in the kingdom of Caesar to prevent the nation from corrupting altogether, but we must be the light of the world to bring the light of the gospel and eternal life to men who are perishing in darkness and ignorance. We must do that. Now, there are some who would accuse us of trying to Christianize America. Am I trying to Christianize America? You bet your boots I am. What was the last commandment that Jesus Christ gave to the church? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That, my friends, is our high and glorious calling. By the grace of God, may we do it.
As Dr. Kennedy points out, the Word of God addresses all of life, and that includes our politics. A biblical understanding of the world would consign socialism to the so-called dustbin of history where it belongs. because it tries to defy the reality of mankind's fallen nature and opposes God's design for His creation. But today, I am asking you to take a concrete step in standing against socialism. We have put together an online petition to your representatives in Congress calling upon them to oppose socialism and uphold liberty. You can stand for freedom and truth by going online now to djkm.org/liberty and signing this urgent petition. One of today's most persuasive spokesmen against socialism and leftism of all stripes is Dennis Prager, radio host and founder of Prager University, whose videos have been viewed online over 2 billion times. I recently had a chance to sit down with Dennis and discuss the recent resurgence of socialism and the left's flouting of God's design. Charles Krauthammer, before he died, made note of the fact that socialism was on the dustbin of history just a generation ago. Just even 20 years, 10 years ago, you could have labeled somebody a socialist and it was
right, the S word.
The S word. It was the thing that would undo them, their reputation. And yet, this last election, we've seen a remarkable influx of new, young, in some cases not very bright, socialists who, and we saw Bernie Sanders' campaign in the previous presidential election. Socialism is making a comeback. Why?
Well, I'll answer you with a biblical reference, because I make the argument frequently that I realized very early in my life when I was at Columbia University for graduate school that I was being taught nonsense by bright people, and that the university was permeated by nonsense, as they are today, too. Like, men and women are basically the same. The Soviet Union and the United States were equally responsible for the Cold War. I mean, it's just endless nonsense. And then I came to this epiphany, the only time I had one in my life, and that is, the famous line from either Psalms or Proverbs, I always forget, wisdom begins with fear of God, or fear of the Lord. And I realized, oh, I know why there's no wisdom at Columbia, because there's no God at Columbia. And then I realized that without the Bible, there was no more wisdom in the Western world. All Western wisdom came from the Bible. So now to the answer to your question. So I'm writing this 5-volume commentary on the first 5 books to show people how great the Bible is. It's purely rational. I call it the rational Bible. So in the first volume, which was the second book of the Bible, Exodus, I point out there's a very famous line, at least among those who know the Bible. And there arose a new Pharaoh in Egypt who did not know Joseph. Joseph had just saved Egypt from starvation, but a new Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph. Collective memory is like amnesia. So you're asking how 10 years ago socialist was a pejorative, and now 49% of millennials say they're socialists, and almost all the Democratic nominees for president. So there is a generation that arose that did not know socialism, because they have enforced ignorance as the atrocities of socialism in the 20th century.
So socialism has failed economically every time it's been tried. No exceptions. But the proponents say the reason it really hasn't worked is because the church and the family stood opposed against it. And so Marxist socialism argues we've got to deconstruct the church and the family to make a way for socialism to rise to be this utopia, this long-promised utopia. There's evidence that that's underway, isn't there? I mean, the attacks on parental authority, the attacks on the church and the synagogue.
Oh, here I go back to my Bible commentary. So I am asked very frequently, what do I think the most important of the Ten Commandments is? Honor your father and mother. The left understands that parental authority is a big impediment to leftism succeeding. You can now, if you are a girl who considers yourself a boy, you can have a surgeon remove your breasts at the age of 16 without your parents' permission. Yep, they know. It's part of the reason they want to give 16-year-olds the vote. they're abolishing the distinction between young and old.
It's interesting, that commandment too, honor your father and mother, is the only one that has a promise attached to it.
Only one with a reward. It's the only way you will live on your land. That's correct.
It's really an undermining of another biblical principle, isn't it? That is, we're all called to be submissive to those that God's placed in authority over us. So it's a, not only is it a hierarchy above us, but there's a, you know, we're called to submit
right.
to
the legitimate. Irony is they want us submissive to them.
Yes, that's right. Well, yeah, that's right.
That's the irony.
Once they've eliminated everything
that's
else,
exactly
then,
right.
you
then
can
you've
be,
got a totalitarian regime.
Then you can be submissive to
we,
us.
You don't have freedom where kids don't honor parents. That's the irony. Because somebody is going to take up the role of the parent, and what they want is the state. You're left with the state.
As you've just seen, the question really is not whether people will submit to a God. The question is, to which God will they submit? The entire project of the left involves removing the true God of the Bible from public life and replacing him with the state, which becomes our protector, our provider, and our source of meaning. Everywhere the left's economic philosophy, which is socialism, everywhere it goes, it reaps disaster. And yet there are numerous presidential candidates right now who are openly advocating socialism. This is pure insanity, and it's dangerous to you, to your children, and to your grandchildren. And that's why I have written a short booklet that I want to send to you right away as thanks for your generous donation to this ministry. It's called When Truth Becomes the Enemy, the Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism, featuring a foreword from William J. Federer, one of the key historians on Americans' Christian history. In it, I show how cultural Marxists have redefined the language, rewritten our history, and are regurgitating old, discredited ideas. And I explain what you personally can do to help stem the tide. When Truth Becomes the Enemy, the Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism is yours as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And as you give, you will be helping us sound the alarm on socialism and present the biblical truth that counters it through print publications, in our nationwide TV broadcasts, and on the web through hard-hitting video documentaries and others. We need your help to get the word out to a nation that is being lulled by the siren call of socialism. If you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the booklet plus the exclusive DVD program, Three Big Lies of Socialism. This powerful DVD exposes socialism's key deceptions and refutes them with biblical truth. You will want your children and grandchildren to see this video. It ought to be required viewing for anyone attending or planning to attend a secular university where they will be inundated with socialism's false promises. My booklet, When Truth Becomes the Enemy, is our gift as thanks for your generous donation. And for a generous donation of $50 or more, we will also include the DVD program, Three Big Lies of Socialism. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And also, make sure to sign the online petition to your representatives in Congress, calling upon them to oppose socialism and uphold liberty. please stand for freedom and truth by going online now to djkm.org/liberty and signing this urgent petition. Self-declared socialist Bernie Sanders recently said, "Democratic socialism means that we must create an economy that works for all, not just the very wealthy." And so he promotes universal health care, free college education, more public spending, and a host of other goodies paid for by, you guessed it, folks like you and me. Bernie Sanders has been promoting socialism for years, while at the same time reaping a fortune as a closet capitalist. According to Forbes magazine, his best-selling books on how capitalism is very bad, along with his property investments, have gained the 77-year-old senator at least $2.5 million in assets and earnings. He bought a summer home in Vermont for nearly $600,000 after ending his socialistic presidential campaign in 2016. We should not be surprised by this. Historically, those who have promoted socialism have often lived high on the hog at the expense of those mere mortals who have to live under it. Fidel Castro lived in palaces and accumulated a net worth of nearly $1 billion, while the average Cuban struggled to eke out a meager living. One of the wealthiest people in Venezuela today, which has been ravaged by socialism, is the daughter of Hugo Chavez, the man responsible for taking that nation to its communistic demise. The administrators of the old Soviet Union all had luxurious summer homes, even as their people stood endlessly in food lines. In George Orwell's famous barnyard parable of communism called Animal Farm, the ruling pigs said, "All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others." Proponents of socialism portray themselves as the champions of the so-called common man. But what they really want is to rule over you in luxury, which is exactly what has happened in every socialist nation. The Latin phrase caveat emptor comes to mind. Let the buyer beware. Well, let the voter beware also. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Communism requires that you destroy the concept of God, because government must become your God.
I do not see how one could have a more explicit repudiation of socialism that is found in this very passage.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.